very good morning to you. I'm John Weeks, and the program is called Light in the Dark, and it's good to have your company. This is a live program operating from Melbourne, Ringwood in Melbourne, and it's a beautiful day out here in this part of the country, and this is the 21st of August, so time's getting on throughout the year, isn't it? And I'll be flying solo today. Peter Watts is unable to do today's program. He'll be back next week, and we'll be continuing the series, Did We Really Evolve? It'll be part five. So I'm waiting with anticipation for next week, because Peter does some great research, and it's a great topic to explore. So that'll be next week. But this week I'll be talking about resilience in one's faith in God. And before I do that, let's look at the text line, by the way. And if you want to send me a text message throughout the show, that'd be kind of nice to get that feedback, and also any comment you may want to put across, or even a question. That'd be something that you want to get off the chest, put it that way. The text line in the studio is 088-880-831. Again, that number 0488880831. Got the screen in front of me, so any text messages come through, I'll respond to it. So today's topic is resilience in one's faith. I was thinking about this topic last night, and how my Christian walk in the last 13 years before that, didn't believe in God, didn't know about Jesus, but 13 years passed. And I started thinking about how resilient am I in my own faith? Because if I'm putting this topic together on this show and I don't believe in it, then it becomes a rather hypocritical sort of presentation. So I was thinking last night, what has been the things that have been occurring in those last 13 years? And there's been an incredible opportunities in my faith. Opportunities I never dreamed of. I came into a church just rocking, showing up out of the blue, thinking, okay, I'll go to this church and see what they got to offer. And I got involved in what they were doing. They stuck to the whole Bible in their message, in their sermon, and even prior to that, they had Bible studies. And I was like, so excited by it all, and I thought, oh, I'll stay around. And sure enough, I'm still with them in these 13 years. But there's been so many opportunities, and I've been now, I'm cutting a long story short, I'm now conducting Bible studies every fortnight at our church in Furniture Gully. And also I run the Zoom meetings on Bible study every Wednesday night. So that's been doing that for 37 weeks. So that's kind of nice to explore various aspects of the Bible. And also an elder of the church. I've been on six church missions. And I thought, okay, after all that, and I'm doing the show, by the way, after all that, I'm thinking, okay, I think I'm in the right track here. And I'm looking at opportunities, even further opportunities. I spoke to the manager of Faith FM today about it all. And I just go forward. And I think that's an element of being resilient in our faith in God. It's just one example. I mean, everyone has their own path, their own way of dealing with life and their faith. But let's look at the definition of resilience. I got a couple of it just downloaded from the internet. Psychological resilience is the ability to cope mentally and emotionally with a crisis, okay, or to return to pre-crisis status quickly. The term was popularized in the 1970s and the 1980s by psychologist Emmy Werner, as she conducted a 40-year-long study of a cohort of Hawaiian children who came from low socioeconomic status backgrounds. I must explore that story a bit more. Another definition or meaning is resilience refers to the ability to adapt, ability to recover and thrive in the face of adversity, challenges, or stress. It involves mental, emotional, or physical strength to bounce back from difficult situations, such as setbacks, trauma, or change, while maintaining a well-being and functionality. For example, a resilient person might overcome a job loss by finding new opportunities, or a resilient community might rebuild after a natural disaster. Let's face it, there's a lot of disasters out there currently. The term can apply to individuals or systems or organizations, emphasizing flexibility, perseverance, and the capacity to grow stronger through hardship. That's the overall definition, but what does God's word in the Bible say about resilience? Okay, let's explore the Bible here. The Bible conveys resilience through stories, teachings, and verses that emphasize perseverance, faith, and strength in adversity. And we're going to look at the Bible scriptures and to see some of the key examples. And I'm looking at now, if you've got your Bible open, that'd be kind of nice, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. Now, I'm using the NIV version. You've probably got your own version. So James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's a key word there. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5 conveys a message facing trials with faith and seeking wisdom from God. So let's look at a few key points here. In the aspect of joys and trials, which is covered in verses 2 to 3, we as believers are encouraged to consider trials as opportunities for joy. Now, that's an interesting concept. And you ask yourself, why? Because these trials test our faith, producing perseverance, or another word, steadfastness. This perseverance strengthens character and spiritual maturity. I'm also looking at that verse 4, which is basically perseverance to maturity. This allows perseverance to complete its work, leading to spiritual completeness, lacking nothing essential for a faithful life. And when you're looking at verse 5, it's basically saying seeking wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom to navigate trials, they should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. And this emphasizes trusting God for guidance. So trust is another interesting key word here. Trust. If we trust the Lord, if we have placed our lives in his hands, if we have surrendered our wills to him, then we can trust that he will do what's best for us when it is best for us, no matter how hard it is sometimes to believe it. So these issues exploring more, and I'll be exploring a little bit more on the James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. So we've got a music break coming up very, very shortly. But I just want to mention our text line again, so you can be partners of this show, if you like. The text line 0488 880 831. Also, later in the program, I'll be offering a book offering. The book is called Dare to Connect with God, which I'll explain a little bit more on that shortly. But in the meantime, let's hear some music. And this is a track by the Rochesters, I'll Never Get Too Old to Pray.
then you're all of God, all of His life, and from His faith He never strayed. A prophet of dreams, a friend of the kings, He was used in so many ways. And as the years passed, He still served His Lord. Though weak and feeble He grew, 'cause with those prayers that He prayed 3 times a day, He did more than any strong man could do. So if my voice starts to leave me and I cannot talk, or if my feet start to fail me and I can't even walk, or if my eyes get so weak I can't see my way, I'll never get too old to pray. My age lengthens and my days grow few, I want to be used, dear Lord. Just like old Daniel, help me see His example. There are things that You'll still want me for. There's a world out there dying without Your dear Son. They need someone who will pray them on through. Although my earthly frame may not be the same, I'll move mountains just by calling on. If my voice starts to leave me and I cannot talk, or if my feet start to fail me and I can't even walk, or if my eyes get so weak I can't see my way, I'll never get too old. My eyes get so weak, I can't see my way, I'll never get too old to pray, I'll never get too old to pray.
Good message there. I'll never get too old to pray. In fact, yeah, I'm 71 now, and it took me a little while to get into the practice of praying. But now just natural. It's having a wonderful conversation throughout the day to the Lord. In fact, even prior to the program, I was talking to, and we were praying together, the station manager of Faith FM and myself, and it was a way of just saying, hey, Lord, this is what we'd be doing in the next hour. This is what the sort of thing we need the Holy Spirit to help us, and also to pass the message on to you, the listener. So you're listening to A Light in the Dark. I'm John Weeks, flying solo today. Peter Watts will be back next week. And here we'll be running with the series, Did We Really Evolve? It'll be part five. So I'm looking forward to that next week. But you got me. And the topic today is resilience in our faith in God. Now, prior to the music, we were covering the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. The core message of those verses, really, it's a passage that urges believers to embrace trials with a joyful attitude, recognizing their role in building perseverance and maturity. It also emphasizes reliance on God for wisdom, trusting in his generous provision to guide through challenges. I guess even when you think about it, the deeper context here is that this passage reflects early Christian teachings on enduring suffering with faith, aligning with the broader theme of James about practical, lived-out faith. So remember at the first part of the show, when I said the Bible conveys resilience through stories, teachings, and verses that emphasize perseverance, faith, and strength in adversity. Let's look at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5 here. And if you've got your Bible, Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at the first five verses, 1 to 5, which has a sort of heading of peace and joy. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So I guess Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, just read, conveys a message here of hope, peace, and perseverance through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to break it down even a little bit further, looking at some sort of key points here. In verse 1, it sort of covers the peace with God through faith. Believers are justified by faith in Jesus, resulting in peace with God. This reconciliation restores our relationship with God, which was broken by sin. When you look at verse 2, which is basically access to grace, through faith, us believers have access to God's grace in which we stand, and we can rejoice in the hope of sharing God's glory. Looking at verses 3 to 4, which was basically rejoicing in suffering. Again, suffering produces perseverance, which builds character, and character leads to hope. This process strengthens faith and trust in God's plan. Hope and God's plan is sort of covered in verse 5 as well. This hope does not disappoint, because God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, assuring us of God's faithfulness. It's very interesting when you look at the scriptures and you apply it to your own life. There's so much there that you can consider, ponder, and maybe embrace. So let's continue in building a case here of maintaining our resilience in our faith in God through times of struggle. And of course, you can't avoid the book of Job. The book of Job is a profound narrative of resilience. Job loses his wealth, he loses his health, he loses his family, but remains faithful to God. Despite immense suffering, this is what Job declares. And we're looking at Job chapter 13 here. Job 13 verses 15 to 16. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no godless man would dare come before him. So Job chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, conveys a message of steadfast faith and trust in God, despite suffering and uncertainty. Again, let's look at some key points here. This deals with unyielding trust. Now, Job expresses unwavering hope in God. Even if God were to take his life, this reflects profound faith in God's sovereignty, regardless of personal circumstances. There's also an element of personal integrity. Job insists on defending his righteousness before God, showing confidence in his moral standing and his desire for a direct encounter with God. And there's also hope in deliverance. Job believes that his faith and integrity will lead to his ultimate vindication or salvation, as only the righteous would boldly approach God. So really, Job chapter 13, verses 15 to 16 emphasizes resilience, trust in divine justice, and the conviction that true faith persists through trials with hope in God's ultimate faithfulness. I hope that you can see a pattern here in maintaining one's resilience in God in time of when we are severely tested in one's faith. And we have been. I personally have been. God does not promise that his people, get this, I want you to totally understand this. God does not promise that his people will not endure hardship and pain. Okay? Let me repeat that. God does not promise that his people will not endure hardship and pain, but he promises to be with them. So the psalmist says in Psalms 23, verse 4, even though I walk, you probably be familiar with this one, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, and comfort me. The message here is one of trust and also comfort in God's presence and protection, even during life's most challenging or frightening moments. It conveys that God's guidance and strength provide reassurance, dispelling fear in difficult times. There's an author by the name of Elizabeth Elliot. She was a Christian author and speaker. Her first husband, Jim Elliot, was killed in 1956 while attempting to make a missionary contact with the Ayuka people of eastern Ecuador. She later spent 2 years as a missionary to the tribe members who killed her husband. And this is what Elizabeth Elliot said in respect to that Psalm 23, verse 4. This is what she wrote. A lamb who found himself in the valley of the shadow of death might conclude that he had been falsely led. It was faithful for him to traverse that darkness in order to learn not to fear. And if the shepherd is still with him. Let's have a music break. We'll be back very, very shortly with the continuation of resilience in one's faith. Listening to A Light in the Dark, I'm John Weeks.
Sarah laughed in her heart at God's promise. Isaac proved nothing is impossible. Martha wept by the tomb of Lazarus. Oh, but death lost when life spoke a miracle. In God's perfect time, he's never been late. His plan for your life is worth the wait. In God's perfect time, you can always trust. When the moment is right, the answer will come. In God's perfect time. Sometimes between your prayers and God's answers, faith can be so hard to hold on to. And with every passing day, doubt whispers, oh, but don't give up, 'cause God is gonna move. In God's perfect time, He's never been late. His plan for your life is worth the wait. In God's perfect time, you can always trust. When the moment is right, the answer will come. In God's perfect time.
So when you haven't heard His voice and you don't understand,
you're still in God's loving hand. Time, He's never been late. His plan for your life is worth the wait. In God's perfect time, you can always trust. When the moment is right, the answer will come. In God's perfect time. Time. In God's perfect time.
In God's perfect time. That was by the Clark family. Listening to A Light in the Dark. I'm John Wakes, and I'll be with you for the next half an hour or more. So don't move that dial. And today's topic is resilience. In our faith in God. And I just want to mention, we have a book offer before I get on to the continue on with the subject. The book is called Dare to Connect with God. It's by Nikku Dumbrava. And if you would like a copy of this book, you can send us a text message and we'll make sure you get this. It's all free, special free offer, no obligation. The text line is 0488880831. But when you put your text message in requesting this book, you've got to put a code, and the code is ALD73. Okay, ALD73. If you want a copy of this, let's continue with the topic. Are you resilient in one's faith? In your faith, we covered a few verses, and we also looking at another one here, another scripture. We're going to look now in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2, which says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Very symbolic there. Also, just think about this sort of question. Where was the Lord when the Babylonians threw Daniel's three friends into the fire? He was with them, and that's covered in Daniel chapter 3. In fact, let's look at that. Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. Let's explore this. "And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet," or leapt, "in amazement, and asked his advisers, 'Weren't there three men that were tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods.' Another example here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. When we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. The message here in the 2 Corinthians is one of resilience and hope through faith in God, despite hardships. This passage conveys that the believers themselves may face intense challenges, confusion, persecution, and setbacks, but God's strength sustains us. It emphasizes that while difficulties are real, they do not have the final word. God's power and presence enable perseverance and prevent ultimate defeat. So I guess the broader context in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it highlights the idea that God's grace and the hope of eternal glory outweigh temporary struggles. Okay, let's look at another scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That's powerful. Powerful words there. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 4. It conveys a message of perseverance. It conveys a message of faith. And it conveys a focus on Jesus in the Christian life. So let's break this down to some, again, key points here in these verses 1 to 4 from Hebrews 12. Run with perseverance. The passage begins by describing the Christian life as a race, urging believers to run with perseverance, the race marked out for them. It emphasizes shedding every weight and sin that hinders, suggesting a deliberate effort to live a life free from distractions and moral failings. Also, these verses inspired by witnesses. That's an interesting one. The great cloud of witnesses I just quoted refers to the faithful figures of Hebrews 11, which is basically Abraham, Moses, etc., whose examples of faith encourage believers to stay steadfast. They are not spectators judging, but models of endurance through trials. And I like the point where it says, you know, basically focus on Jesus. The passage centers on Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Believers are encouraged to fix their eyes on him who are endured the cross and its shame for the joy set before him. This highlights Jesus as both the example and source of strength for enduring hardships. There's also another area, endure hardship and avoid despair. The text acknowledges struggles, urging believers to not grow weary or lose heart. It points out that Jesus faced hostility yet triumphed, encouraging perseverance even in suffering, as it aligns with the greater purpose of following him. So in essence, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, calls Christians to stay focused on Jesus. It draws inspiration from faithful predecessors and persevere through challenges, trusting in God's purpose and strength. You know, these passages and I guess these stories, among others, emphasize resilience as a product of faith, patience, and reliance on God's strength. So let's study this a little bit further here. We go back to James, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Let me quote this, and this deals with patience and suffering. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, and you will be condemned. The Bible consistently teaches that challenges refine character and deepen trust in divine providence. So it's fascinating and interesting when you look at Scripture here. And there's so much that we can learn from what God tells us, and I'll be exploring more of that shortly. If you see opportunities for you to grow in your faith, take those opportunities, weigh it all up, see if it works for you, pray about it. In my life, I've had so many opportunities, even this moment on this radio show. It was amazing how God came and connected me to this radio station, Faith FM. And it was just, you know, beyond coincidence. I don't have the word coincidence in my faith here. And you look for those opportunities. And if you ask your question, okay, how is these opportunities going to increase my faith in God, but also how it's going to further my development in my faith, and also how is it going to be the strength in my relationship with God? There are so many different things that you can ask yourself, but it all leads to you, to God. And by taking these great opportunities when they are presented, I suggest don't procrastinate. Look at the value and the benefit of these opportunities. And believe me, throughout my last 13 years, you step outside your comfort zone. But the benefits are amazing, amazing, folks. So if you've got any comment, I'd love to hear from you. The text line in the studio, if you've got any comment, or if you want to share some experience you may have had, be nice to get that sort of feedback, and would love to share it with others. Why not? It's like having a testimony. So that you could text me, and the text line is 04-88-880-831. Repeat that again, 04-88-880-831. And just send me a message. I've got the screen in front of me right now, so any messages come through, I'll acknowledge. And if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. If not, we'll follow it up next week. And by the way, Peter Watts will be back next week as well. Let's hear some more music. This is a track called Count Your Blessings.
To be delivered every day from the perils of life, to resist one small temptation at a time, to rest at home each night, knowing all is safe and well, ain't a cause to question, but just to count your blessings.
You can count your blessings.
Count your blessings when you're feeling small and sad.
when you think of all the sorrow you have had. Just remember all the wealth of love, all the friendship you have known. You may find you're living in the promised land. Oh, forget about the things you've done that fill you with regret, and forgive your friends at times they've let you down. Oh, think not of where you've been before, but where you're going, yeah, take it as a lesson, and count your blessings.
You can count your blessings.
Count your blessings when you're feeling small and sad, when you think of all the sorrows you have had. Just remember all the wealth of love, of the friendship you have known. You may find you're living promised land.
You can count your blessings.
Count your blessings when you're feeling small and sad, when you think of all the sorrows you have had. Just remember all the wealth of love, of friendship you have known. You may find you're living in the promised land. You may find you're living in the promised land.
That's a good track there. I love bluegrass music. That was by Laurie Lewis and Kathy Kallick, and the track was called Count Your Blessings. Indeed. Listening to A Light in the Dark on Faith FM, I'm John Weeks, and it's good to have your company. And Peter Watts will be back next week, and with the series. The series is Did We Really Evolve? And it'll be part five. Looking forward to that. Also, I've mentioned earlier on that we have a book offer. And the book is called Dare to Connect with God by Niku Dumbrava. And I'll give you a little bit of a description of what the book is if you wish to get a copy of this. Dare to Connect with God is like a Swiss Army knife for your spiritual journey. Whether you're pondering alone, studying in a group, or craving meaningful conversations, this book has got you covered, it says. Filled with heartfelt devotionals, contributed by folks from all walks of life in Australia, each one ends with questions designed to stir your soul and draw you closer to God. Sounds pretty good to me. So if you'd like a copy of the book, Dare to Connect with God, you've got to send us a text message, and the text message, SMS, 04-88-880-831. You also have to put a code. So just put in your message, say, yeah, I'd love to get this book. And then you put the code, ALD73, okay? ALD73. And looking at the text line, let me have a read of this before I okay. All right, this is from Paula, text message from Paula. Dear John, I feel incredibly blessed. A tough childhood and many trials along the way. What a gift it's turned out to be. It's taught me immense resilience. Is that word, resilience? Not only to cope with the past and leave it behind, but resilience and perseverance for the trials to come. It has taught me gratitude for all the blessings I received. Joy and faith that grew from knowing God is always there, working for the better good. No matter what, I know the Holy Spirit walks with me and comforts me. That's powerful. Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate the effort of putting that as a text message. I think Sandy's also, yes, she's asked for the book. Yep. Okay. Our team will get back to you on that one. So again, that text line, as I said, I've got the screen in front of me. The text line 04-88-880-831. So we're talking about resilience in one's faith and the Bible, as I've said before, the music break. The Bible consistently teaches that challenges define character and deepen trust in the divine providence. So what is your Christian walk? I mentioned a few ideas before the music break. What is your Christian walk? Are you open to new ideas? Are you open to new challenges, new opportunities to reinforce your faith? That's a few questions that you could ask yourself. Basically, don't be afraid of the unknown. That's what that's what happened to me. I was thinking, where am I going to go with this? And when I went on my first mission overseas, it really rocked my world because I went to another country and you see the people, you meet the people in villages, and this is in the Philippines, by the way. And I went to and meet people. I was with a team, and the team are very skilled in mission work, and I was a newbie. And it was really a sort of opportunity for me, but it certainly it took me by surprise, and I felt so out of it. But I also saw it as a challenge as well. And you got to be conscious that when you see a challenge and you take up a challenge, generally speaking, it's going to push you outside your comfort zone. You may have your comfort zone all set out and you think, okay, these are my parameters and I'm not going to move out of them. But I suspect and I suggest and I recommend that you do go outside your boundaries, because by doing that in respect to your faith in God, it will also improve and enhance your resilience in your faith. So don't be afraid of the unknown. On some level, we are all facing fear. We're afraid at times of being seen for who we truly are, and that's sinners, perhaps, or afraid of what we are going through. We are afraid of seeing ourselves for who we really are, afraid of confronting our limiting beliefs. So we avoid facing fear by hiding. Remember, you have God by your side to help you deal with these issues or issue. You simply asked God for support. Yeah, why not? And by asking God for support, it's basically prayer. You pray to God. You talk to God. Prayer, to me, is an amazing privilege. It is our way of having fellowship, friendship, and communication with God on a daily basis. I look at prayer as a source of energy that helps one to better understand and appreciate the world in which we live. And it is an opportunity to take time out to reflect on one's own life and relationships, and to share with the Father in heaven the highs and lows, the challenges and victories, the happy moments and the dark hours. It's a special intimacy that is not possible with anyone else. It's also a humbling experience before God to reveal your heart to Him, to share your desires, thoughts and feelings. It allows you to further develop a relationship with the Father. It is difficult to have a relationship with someone, I know, without talking to them, without sharing your inner thoughts and desires. With God, we can. He is there with us and always, He always listens. So let's look at just a little bit further on our prayer. Let's go further in our understanding what prayer is. I'm drinking here, by the way. Praying to God allows for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that our prayers are groaning and that the Holy Spirit transforms them into a language of heaven. I think that works both ways. I think the Holy Spirit transforms God's words to us into the human language that we can understand. And God speaks to us at the time, and the Holy Spirit helps us focus on God's words to us. So it's interesting when you pray, and I just want to there's a quote here I want to look at here. Looking at Ellen G. White, author of the book Steps to Christ. It sort of deals with Christ's character. So we need to understand that. And Christ's character stands in place of your character. And you are accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. Interesting quote there. So in resilience, what are the things that you can consider in being resilient in your faith? See difficult times, I guess, as opportunities for personal growth. Know that nothing lasts forever. Keep that in mind. Know that nothing lasts forever and that change is inevitable. Embrace change as an opportunity for growth. See where it takes you. With God's support, see where it takes you. And be grateful. Be grateful. And as Paula said, there's an element of gratitude here. But Paula said, it's taught me gratitude for all the blessings I receive. So gratitude plays a big part. So be grateful for what you already have and build on that. Know how to ask for help without feeling weak or ashamed. You have a God. You have a loving God, of course. But if you belong to a church and it's a healthy church, you also have a church family to approach. All of us who go to church, there's a reason why we go to church, to pray, to have fellowship with each other, to have like mind and like faith in our faith in God. And by being with others, you can listen to other people's testimonies that highlight how God got them through in difficult times. Testimonies are powerful things. They really are. So take advantage of that. Listen to the stories and you may realize and think, my goodness, I thought it was on my own on this, but there are other people going through it and listen to how they got through it. Also see that your self-esteem is high no matter what life throws at you and ultimately bounce back from obstacles and setbacks. So I guess what I'm going to finish with, well, almost finish. I'd like to close with a scripture here, the last scripture of the program of The Light and the Dark. I'm going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. Powerful words indeed, and good words of advice, and to be inspired your life to go forward in your resilience, in your faith. Before we finish, I just want to again promote the book, Dare to Connect with God by Niku Dumbrava. And if you'd like a copy of this book, all free, no special offer, send us a text message, 0488 880 831, and our team will get back to you. So that's today's program, and I was also another one, Karen. Okay, thank you, Karen, and Sadhu as well, also requesting the book. Peter Watts, we'll be back next week, and part five of Did We Really Evolve? If you want to contact me, I'm John Weeks. The email address, if you want to contact me, is johnweekstraveller@gmail.com. That's johnweekstraveller@gmail.com. Thank you for your company. God bless. Bye.